Life is full of awesome what ifs, and some not so much, like unexpected medical costs. That's why United Healthcare provides Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans to supplement your primary plan and help manage out-of-pocket costs. Learn more at uh1.com.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number smart beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 50% on the Sleep Number limited edition smart bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at a Sleep Number store or sleepnumber.com.
Hi, and welcome to Everything is Fine, a podcast for women over 40. We are your hosts. I'm Kim France.
And I am Jen Romolini.
And I'm just going to go out on a limb and say that Jen and I are both slightly in moods today.
I was hoping to not go first. I would like to not go first. It's not even like it's not even like a bad mood. Like there's no fire in me. I'm just kind of sad. I'm like a sad sponge.
But that's because of your writing.
Ugh, that is because of my writing. You go first. You talk about your mood first.
Well, I have a little bit of a health scare. Looks like everything's going to be okay. But the way I was treated, you know, by the doctor and the nurses is just sticking with me. I mean, I got a scary message and then tried desperately to follow up on it and had to wait like over 24 hours before I talked to an actual human. And I have good insurance. Like I go to good doctors, and I can't imagine what like everyone's experience is like. If that was my experience with like a pretty good doctor who I thought, ugh, I don't know what I'm saying. It was just very frustrating. And there's something unpleasant about thinking you might die.
Sorry to laugh, but yes. As a person who thinks I'm going to die all the time. Like, oh my God, my stomach hurts. Definitely dead. The death. Like I'm yes. always thinking that it's the death, but you do know what you're talking about because even with a good insurance, like quote unquote, good insurance in this country, the way healthcare is, like you had to wait a week for insurance to approve the initial test.
That's
like,
true.
So you had this like sort of alarming initial like, oh, maybe this is a problem. Then you had to get this test that you couldn't get for a week. Then you had to wait 24 hours after an alarming call after the test. Like this shit is fucked.
It's so fucked up. And then the doctor gets on the phone and he's just chill.
I know.
He's just chill, and I'm so grateful to have him on the phone that I don't say anything. But it was very scary. I don't recommend going through like a week of thinking that you're going to die. I just don't recommend it. And it really made me wonder, like, if something does happen, like, I got to work on my attitude.
Well, this is the whole Beth Pickens thing about a death practice, that she does a death practice every single day. She has an app. She faces down her death and the idea that she's going to die every single day. And I think it's useful.
My mom is into that too. My mom, there's an organization at the Ethical Culture Society that my mom is part of that's about acknowledging mortality. And it is, I mean, in some ways, it makes perfect sense in many ways that something like that would be good for your mindset.
Well, yeah, it could help you not be such a bitching, complaining pain in the ass. You know what I mean? Not you, but one.
One. Although I'll tell you a story. I knew a woman named Kathy Rich, who mm-hmm. was a magazine editor mm-hmm. and very nice woman, lovely person. And she had written a book called The Red Devil about having breast cancer when she was pretty young, I think late 20s, early 30s. And years ago, we became friendly. And years ago, I was supposed to meet her for drinks one evening. And I was kind of in a cranky, bitchy, exactly the kind of mood you're talking about. Mm-hmm. And I thought to myself, you know, Kathy Rich battled cancer and you can't get over all your petty bullshit.
Right.
And so I told her that when I saw her. And she's like, don't you think the reason why I wanted to get better was so I could get upset about petty bullshit again?
Right. 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 No, that makes a lot of sense. I mean, anytime you're in some kind of like tragedy, crisis, all you want is for things to be simple again. All you want is to be able right. to complain about, you know, the person who's not cleaning the toilet. You know, you just yes. want that simplicity back in your life. You want to be like, oh, these drawers are disorganized. I should do something about that. You know, like just the very, very basics. Yeah, I'm going to need something like that. I had a friend die when I was really young of cancer. We were really close friends when I was 14. But I've had not very much death in my life, very luckily, because my parents are really young. I have a couple of grandparents who are alive still.
Wow.
You know? So, I know it's going to be a big thing for me because, you know, my parents are, you know, we've talked about this. You're in the middle of my parents and my age, you know, mm-hmm. my parents are only 16 and 17 years older than me. It's just a different vitality has just kind of been around me, luckily enough. Right. But I know it's a thing I'm going to have to start thinking about as we get older because it's just going to start coming up.
It comes up. I mean, I feel like in the past week, I've read about at least two people roughly my age who died. Somebody who was 58 died the other day.
Yeah.
It just starts to happen. It's not a freak thing like it is when you're a teenager, you're in your 20s. It's like, oh, yeah.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Well, yeah. That person collapsed. There was a fall. Oh, it's fucking awful. Also, the world is fucked up right now. It's like
yeah,
the
world. We should mention that.
let's like move. Let's like the world is so fucked up right now. And it's of course there's this war happening, which I am not in any way educated enough to know how to talk about this war. And I know that about myself. Unlike a lot of people on Twitter who are like, they're bombing them now. Let's get out of there. Let's put the planes. I'm like, what the fuck? Like, influencer, are you there in like battle command? Like, you cannot look at war Twitter.
No, war Twitter is very bad.
You can't look at war Twitter. And then there's like this weird like whiplash because it's like Mardi Gras selfies, like war, like, you know, the Gap is having a sale. Like, it's just, these are moments of real seriousness in our lives really show us how ridiculous these social media platforms are.
Yeah.
Because because there's like the clueless people in the Caribbean, you know, who yes. are still just like
showing God, vacation shots. Yes.
God love you and your aqua water and your fit bodies and your babies and everything. But like you see that and like the next screen is like, you know, the Ukrainian orphanage, the Ukrainian neonatal unit that they've like.
Oh, I know that they put in. Yes.
In a bunker. Oh, my God.
Yes. I saw the neonatal unit. I saw the dead Russian soldier.
Ugh.
Yeah, it's a lot. And the way that it's interdispersed with everything else and competing for attention and importance really skews things weird.
And you don't know what to do. Everyone's sharing the same placards. Everyone's sharing the same how to help yep. placards. But then somebody else is sharing like, actually, those placards are bad. Those are bad organizations. And then it's like, oh, we love the Ukrainians. But then it's like, also, they're being real racist to Black people. Like, yeah. there's just, it's so much to wrap your head around at this pace.
Yeah.
It's just, you know, and how do you be an informed person and a good person in this kind of environment? And I think a lot of people are really, really confused about that, you know?
Yeah, because there's this reflexive need to like fly your colors, you know? And then that makes more people feel like they need to fly their colors. And it's like a game of telephone.
It is like a game of telephone, but it's also like you see how addicted we are to these apps, right? And it's like we're addicted to sharing just the bullshit of our lives, just like the bullshittiest of bullshit. And in these moments, we can't give up our addiction to the apps, but we don't know what to do.
Yeah.
You know, we don't like, oh, I can't tell you about my tulips I purchased that I love so much. You know? So I'll share this thing that might be misinformation and might be from a racist organization or might be propaganda, or here's just a flag, or I have to tell you, I have to make it about me. There was a great New Yorker cartoon. So good. So yeah, what a fucking time. What a time. Hey, I finished Euphoria.
You did?
I did.
How did that feel?
Glorious. I love Euphoria. I know I'm not supposed to. I know it's problematic. And I know this because there was like a kid's birthday party on Friday afternoon where a bunch of parents brought a bunch of children to get ice cream. And the children were off on their own because they're tweens. And I was talking to the parents and I was like, hey, Euphoria, what do you guys think? It was as if I had brought up like some really filthy porn.
Oh my God, that's hilarious.
People were, oh my God, doesn't that just make you worry about the kids? I could never, I tried watching it and I can't. And you know what he is? And oh, and those girls. And I'm just like, I love it. I love the vibes.
Oh my God.
What are you watching?
Well, I watched, there's a movie that's been on my mind for a long time called Shoot the Moon.
Mm-hmm.
It came out in like 1981 or 82.
Yeah. Yeah. I remember.
Diane Keaton and Albert Finney, they live in Northern California. He's a writer and she's his wife and he cheats on her and leaves. And it's about, it's just like, it's just a perfect, it came out in the 80s, but it's like a perfect 70s movie.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And Diane Keaton's wardrobe in it is so Jennifer Romilini.
Oh, I should look at that.
Not as Romilini as Shelley Duvall in The Shining, because that's like ect Romilini wardrobe. Like you studied the frames. But this also is. But it was just a movie I saw with my high school boyfriend.
Mm-hmm.
We were both like both of our parents, both sets of parents had recently divorced. And I remember us both just being dumbstruck by it by the end of the movie. So I watched that, which I liked a lot. I started watching Pam and Tommy, which I was really looking forward to. And it was just two thumbs way down.
Oh, God, I've been watching it. First off, it feels like I've been watching this thing for like 60 hours. I feel like however many episodes are out at this point, six maybe, it has been talk about just stretching the material. It's so stupid. But then on top, first off, it's poorly done. Everything about it, when his dick starts talking, I mean.
Oh, I haven't gotten to that yet.
Oh, sorry. There's a point where I think they try it out in one of the episodes and they don't revisit it as far as I can tell. But there's a point where he just has a talking penis. Like this is a device they use.
Mm-hmm.
And I forget who the voice for it is. It's like some funny actor. But the biggest thing about this is that this show is a show about exploiting Pamela Anderson that exploits Pamela Anderson and also did not have real Pamela Anderson's approval and thus is still exploiting Pamela Anderson. It's like exploitation on top of exploitation on top of exploitation. And it's just, it's so bad. And last night's episode was so, or whatever this week's episode was so fucking bad. It was all about her being in a deposition because I guess they got into a situation with Guccione. Guccione got the tape and was going to release it, but then they threatened him and they got all this bad legal advice. And anyway, so she's in a deposition. Tommy Lee's not in it. And it's just this episode. It's like a bottle episode of her in a courtroom having to answer questions about was she ever a prostitute, having to watch the sex video. And I don't know if it's true or not. And it should be powerful. And I assume that's what they were going for. But it doesn't work. And it just is embarrassing. And it's just embarrassing. It's just embarrassing. And it's like heavy-handed. And I hate it.
I don't think I would have been happy with this movie unless actual Pam and actual Tommy were playing the roles of Pam and Tommy. But
yeah,
I think that also has to do with the fact that the people who were cast are so awkward.
Oh, God. So wrong for both of these roles. I mean, I do feel a little bit guilty because I very much enjoyed that film when it came out.
the funny thing, like I was watching at the beginning of the whole series when it's Pam and she's on the Jay Leno show.
Yeah.
And I guess this is probably, I would guess, the verbatim dialogue from when she was on the Jay Leno show.
Mm-hmm.
And he's like, oh, yes, there's been this sex tape and all the men have been talking about it. Mm-hmm. And I was like, the thing I remember about that sex tape was that Pam filmed most of it. So it's actually a very female friendly experience to watch that. It's like all about Tommy's big dick.
It is. And the night before my friend Vicky got married, who died last year, which is very sad. Speaking of people who die. But anyway, my friend Vicky got married. And the night before she got married, I got her way too drunk, which is inappropriate. But we stayed in a hotel room together. And I made her watch the Tommy Lee and Pam Anderson tape like 8 times. It was like on the hotel's porn. And I was like, this is fascinating. Like I'd never seen anything like that before.
Me neither,
you know?
When I did. Yeah.
Yeah. But also so stupid. I mean, they were so just.
Remember when he tried to steer the boat with his dick?
Yes, I do. I do.
And also every time in that tape that Tommy says to Pam, I love you, she's naked.
Yes, 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 yes. Yeah, it's just like trashed lives. I mean, it's just sad. It's sad how I've been thinking about this a lot because this is where I'm at in this book. I've been thinking a lot about men and what we give to men and what we gave to men in our 20s. And it's just sad. I just feel sad.
I do too about that. I do too. I feel like of all the encounters I've had with men, like I could happily go back and undo 75% of them. And that feels low.
I was just going to say, I think 90%.
Wow.
I mean, just maybe not 90, that's so high, but just how much they think of themselves or thought of themselves, I don't know if this is the case anymore, versus how little we thought of ourselves. And what I gave over, the power that I gave over to men, the way I was like, oh, sure, I'll wear that thing you want me to wear. Ew,
mm-hmm.
I can't believe it. But what I can't believe more are women our age who are still trying to lead with that, who are still trying to gather the male attention and still mm-hmm. looking for a male gaze. I mean, God love them, but I am so past wanting any kind of attention from men or wanting to exist in the male gaze at all.
Well, in fairness, some of those women are alone. So yeah. Wanting to exist for men, you know, where the male gaze is, you know, a means to an end.
Yeah, fair enough. Companionship is what you're saying.
Yeah. But I agree with you. I think we give an enormous amount up. And I think even like, you know, I don't know how much that stuff goes away. I mean, I'm a much more confident person now. I'm much more like less likely to deal with bullshit than I was. But yeah, it goes deep,
yeah.
You know, but I am thinking about the other thing you were saying about women who still exist for that. And, you know, it makes me think of that line that Carly Simon said that I've said on the podcast before, and I always mm-hmm. misquote about mm-hmm. like, you know, I know that it's my turn to step aside for the younger women.
Yeah, but I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about if you and I went to a party tomorrow, right? If you and I mm-hmm. went to a party and you kind of threw me over, like you were like, because you wanted to be talking to a group of men, because you wanted the male attention.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Do you know what I mean? That kind yeah. of stuff. Prioritizing straight men and the attention from straight men mm-hmm. over your friends, over your own needs, over, you know, everything.
Yeah, that's everything, everything.
And I remember being like that. And I remember that being kind of an acceptable way to be in the world. I mean, and this comes up in Euphoria quite a bit for mm-hmm. these young girls. I can't fathom prioritizing a conversation with a straight man over my girlfriends at this point. But again, I'm not looking to get laid. So that's part of it.
You know, we have a friend who, you and I have a friend who left her husband for a woman and is still with that woman.
Mm-hmm.
And I said to her not long ago when we had lunch, probably annoyingly, I was like, so if you guys broke up, because she's still with this woman
mm-hmm.
many years later, would you be with women or men? And mm-hmm. she's like, well, we're not going to break up, but I will tell you, I have a lot less patience for men than I used to.
Yeah.
And it is like, there are just so many shitty ones. I mean, there are really good ones. There are really, really good ones. But they, you know, the bad ones just drag the mean down.
I know. I mean, look, there are shitty women too. Did you see that thing this week about the woman in Congress who had to apologize because she got drunk at her kid's slumber party and she was berating all the children. She barfed in front of the children.
Oh my God.
Like she was like Amy Poehler's like cool mom from Mean Girls, but like writ large.
This. Yes. I did see this. Yes.
Yes.
Hilarious. Yeah.
I mean, look, there's, you know, we all got these nutty egos. We don't really know what the hell it is we're doing. I don't know what else.
I don't know what else either. It's that kind of day. It's that kind of week. Well, I'm in Philadelphia.
Okay. Which part of Philadelphia?
Rittenhouse Square.
Oh my God. Beautiful. Perfect.
Very nice. Very nice around here. We have a nice hotel. I figured out a really good way to get a good room because I go to hotels tonight who are not advertisers, but if you're listening, you should be. Where they have where you can get cheap rooms, like short, you know, with short notice.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And then I get to the hotel having gotten my cheap room on Hotels Tonight, and then I upgrade.
Oh, nice. And do they charge you more for the upgrade?
They do. They charge you more, but it all equals much less than it would if you had just booked. Like we have a suite, and we paid for like a double.
Nice.
So.
Nice.
So I'm
nice.
In Philadelphia because, as I mentioned the other day, my boyfriend Paul's a big Sixers fan, and James Harden, who's a big basketball player, is playing his first game for the 76ers tomorrow night.
Oh.
So I know. I'm trying to stretch it out here.
You're doing good. You're doing good. You don't have to stretch shit, man. It's not going to end. You feel like it's going to end, but I got more. Okay, it's both of our birthday month, okay?
Oh, yeah, there was that. I want to talk about that.
Yes.
Not a week from Thursday. Thursday.
Yes, I know.
When this airs, I will be 58.
I know. How do you feel?
Well, since I thought I was dying, I was feeling okay about turning 58. I was like, this is fine and I can handle it. And I've decided that the real landmark birthday is 60.
Yeah.
Right. So 58, you know, what's it matter? Once you're 57, people assume you're like ancient. So,
right.
I feel okay about it. But where was I? Somebody said something so nice. Oh, we were filling up with gas and the guy filling up our tank was talking about the gas crisis of the 1970s. Mm-hmm. And he's like, you're too young to remember that. And I was like, oh no, I remember it. And I was like, yay, the man at the gas station thinks I'm too younger to remember the gas crisis of the 70s.
But also you're having something called Princess Week, I saw on your blog, which
yes,
is
Princess Week. Well, my friend Kate, who I called Kiki on the thing because that's her nickname, Kate's parents got divorced when she was pretty young.
They felt bad about it. So they decided that the week surrounding her birthday would be called Princess Week, and it would just be full of cake and gifts and trips to the zoo and like whatever she wanted. So when I met Kate, when I was in my 20s and she told me about Princess Week, I was like, this is just a concept for me.
Yeah. No, I agree. What are you doing in your Princess Week, which you are in the midst of?
I have been doing some shopping, which mm-hmm. I have not been doing lately. I've been really good about not shopping, but I did buy myself a couple things on Sunday. Mm-hmm. There's a Sephora right near the hotel. I would say odds of me going there before the end of the day are pretty good.
Excellent.
I've been known to book a massage. Although I feel like I've had just me working at a fashion magazine for 10 years, I feel like I've had all the massages I ever need.
Take a quick break for some ads.
This is Paige, the co-host of Giggly Squad, and I want to tell you about a company that I've been loving, Olive & June. Olive & June gives you everything that you need for a salon-quality manicure in one box. And if you break it down, it really comes out to $2 a manicure, which is absolutely insane. It's also so easy to get salon-worthy nails at home with Olive & June. The difference between how your nails used to look when you did them yourself and now with the Manny system is a complete game changer. The best thing about Olive & June, too, is it's a quick dry. It dries in about 1 minute, lasts for 5 days, and full coverage in up to 1 to 2 coats. Visit oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system. That's oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
A lot can happen in 3 years, like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage that lasts nearly 3 years in some states. Learn more at uh1.com.
And we're back.
I'm turning 49. So it's the year before the big one. And my husband is like, Do you want to do this? Should we get a bunch of people together? Like, my birthday is March 13th, which is the beginning of the pandemic, right? 2 years ago. It was like that
it
was
is.
The
it's
day
so
when everybody was like, oh, it's the pandemic. And it happened to be my birthday. And I'm feeling a little bit like things are opened up more and I could mm-hmm. have some kind of party, but I am not emotionally ready for a larger social gathering.
Really?
In celebration of me. I think that I would be Fair. Okay with going to a party, but Fair. I'm not in a space for that kind of attention. Like, I really had to think about it. And I was really annoying my husband because he was like, what about this restaurant? What do you want to do this? And I was like, I don't want to do anything, actually.
It's actually kind of stressful to be the center of attention. Yeah. Do you remember? I mean, every party I've ever thrown in my adult life, I have had to flee for at least 15 minutes.
Yes, we've talked about this because we're both party fleers. I know. And no, what I really want to do, and also because I now have a kid who I don't want to really leave at home. I want to include them mm-hmm. in a party. You know, they're at that age now. So I just said, let's go out to dinner outside somewhere with Charlotte and celebrate my birthday quietly. Because also I cannot afford right now the other thing I've done, which is so stupid. I have reached my limit of too much work. So I can't afford to be – let me finish the thought. I can't afford to be hungover in mm-hmm. any way right now. Like last night I was working until 8:40 at night and I was like, oh God, fuck me. I try to avoid these situations. I took on one too many projects mm-hmm. and I'm now in 10-hour work days and I really – really like to keep my work day to 5 hours, 6 hours. I think that like solidly, not like, you know, 6 hours with some like makeup breaks or whatever.
Yeah.
Like 6 hours. But I was so mad at myself last night. But I got into like a money panic, and I started getting like, okay, yes, I'll take that. And I did the thing that I always say I'm not going to do, and I did it anyway.
It's very hard to say no when people call you up, though. It's hard.
It is hard. It is hard because there's always a thing of like, well, that's, I mean, at least for me, it's always a calculation. Well, that's, you know, health insurance, that project, it'll take me this long, and that's health insurance for, you know, 3 months. Okay. So it's always like, I'm always doing the math in my head, and I always wind up sacrificing myself in that math, which I, you know, don't want to do, but I also like money.
Yeah.
You know, I was working on a real, I'm not going to say what it is, but I was working on a real turd of a thing too. just a real fucking turd. So what are you going to do for your birthday? What are you going to do for the actual day? Will you go out?
Well, we will wake up here in Philadelphia. We mm-hmm. will drive back to New York.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going out to dinner that evening with Paul and my brothers and their partners and my mom to Gage and Tolner, which is that old restaurant in downtown Brooklyn that was closed forever and now is reopened. My sister-in-law managed to get us a reservation.
I know the owner, Sinjin. He was the boyfriend of my first roommate in New York.
Really?
Yeah. So I've known him. I was with him on 9/11, weirdly enough. Yeah. Anyway, so yes, that's going to be great. That restaurant's going to be great.
Yeah. So that'll be it. And it'll be, you know, I mean, the last few birthdays like have been like, I always loved my birthday. I was always way into my birthday. And it wasn't until I hit my 50s that like the tears started coming on my birthday.
Okay. What's that about? What do you think that's about?
Well, I think some, you know, for a while it was like, I'm not in the relationship I want to be in, or I'm not in a relationship at all.
Yeah.
You know, I'm 50, you know, it's been years since, you know, my divorce. And yeah. I mean, for a lot of years, it just felt like, you know, my life wasn't complete.
Right. Right.
You know, I mean, I think talking about a complete life is a weird thing, but it felt very incomplete to me for a long time in my 50s.
Yeah.
You know, last year, actually, which was before I met Paul, so we can't give him all the credit, although we certainly can give him a lot. Like, last year, I had a great birthday. Last year, I was in a great mood. You sent me pretty flowers.
I did.
Like, I was in a good mood last birthdays. And I do feel like, you know, this little scare I've had has kind of made me just feel like, fuck it. Like, bring it on. Yeah. Bring on 58, bring on 59. You know, were you the one who told me, or was it Paul who said, Mark Maron believes that if you can past your 50s, it was you?
Yeah.
Yeah. That you'll keep living.
I love that we're blending, though, for you. I love that. That's a that's a mark of a close friendship. I love that.
It's true. It's really true. So that's all I'll do on my birthday, and it'll be fine. And I don't know. I mean, I've been thinking a lot about the performative aspect of getting depressed about your birthday. I've been thinking a lot about it. I've been thinking a little bit about it. That feels like a little bit of a self-fulfilling prophecy.
Well, it's a thing. It's like an affectation. It's kind of like, hating the word moist. You know, you know what I mean? Like, oh, come on. It's just a fucking word. It's just an age. I don't know. I feel like I'm in a race. I was thinking about it this morning. And as much as I try to talk about like, oh, ageism only exists if you say it does, you know, I'm acutely aware of the fact that I'm 49 in whatever, 11, 12 days, and I'm going to be 50. And I know, look, and let me just say, like, I know that this is not that big of a deal. And I know when I'm 70, 80, I'm going to be like, you're such a stunad. Like, what the fuck are you talking about? But I feel like I'm in a race professionally. Like, what else do I want to do? Where else do I want to play on the board? where do I have to establish myself? I feel really ambitious right now, but I'm a little wary of it because it doesn't feel totally healthy because I feel like I'm in a race. I'm like, okay.
You feel like you're racing the clock.
I'm racing
for relevancy.
Yep. I'm racing the clock. I do. I'm afraid. What I genuinely am is afraid that people are going to be right. That everyone who said to me, oh, nobody hires you after you're 50, you'll see, you know, all those you'll see people, I'm very worried that they're right. And so I'm like, well, if I just stack the deck in my favor, if I just do enough things in enough different areas, then I'll continue to be viable. I'll continue to get work. But I'll be really honest about it. I know that it's fear talking. I'm afraid.
It reminds me of the movie Logan's Run. You know the movie Logan's Run?
What is that honk of your 30 or something? What is it?
It was described to me. I haven't actually seen it.
Mm-hmm.
But you're killed on your 40th birthday.
That's right.
So in Logan's Run, they kill you when you turn 40.
Okay.
Unless you decide to run. You know, run Logan's Run, I guess. And so I get what you're saying. It does. And, you know, it's so funny because someone just sent me an email this week referring to her 50s as her unhirable 50s.
Ugh.
And this is somebody I know who works hard and tries and really hustles. But I also know people who've been hired in their 50s.
Yeah, you know, it's not impossible. But
it's much harder. It is.
I'm wondering, is it going to be much harder? Is it not? Is that going to be my experience? It's the same. It's the same
it's
thing as all
It's not
going to
be your
these.
Experience
yeah.
because you are very preoccupied with relevance as far as understanding what's going on in the world goes.
Right.
You know, you keep on top of things. I think if I was in my 20s, I would think like, oh yeah, Jen Romolini still gets it.
Thank you. I'm trying to still get it. But it's not because it's like, it's because I still want to make shit. I want people to pay me to keep making shit. I like working, and I want to keep being able to do it. I don't want to be shut out. I hate being told no.
You're not going to be shut out.
Yeah. Well, that's how I'm feeling on this birthday, I guess. That's my birthday feeling. And also my other birthday feeling is like, what are we supposed to wear anymore?
I can't even. I mean, my friend, I sent my friend Michelle pictures of the two things I bought the other day. And she was like, you were the most resistant to the vibe shift person I have ever met. That's like everything you already own.
No, it's true. Do you think I was wondering this about you? Because I feel like, were you always like this? Were you kind of like fixed in a style, or were you always like, or is this like a new, is this a new development?
I would say I've been fixed in a style. No, I'd say I tried a lot of different things for a long time. Mm-hmm. I didn't feel like I was fixed in a style when I was at Lucky even. No, I think in the last like 7 or 8 years, it's turned into a uniform.
Mm-hmm.
Because there are things that stop looking right, you know, hemlines stop looking right, certain cuts start looking right. And right now I feel like, and you know, I know you don't like when I go to this place, but I'm larger than I've ever been. So even if I'm not technically large, I'm bigger than I've been.
I don't mind if you go to this place. I don't like, I support you and how you feel about yourself. I don't mind if you go to this place.
Yeah. I mean, I'm not going to, you know, I know I'm like a size 12 now. Mm-hmm. I'm a solid size 12.
Mm-hmm.
And so I look at women who are my size, who know how to dress. And I feel like I'm just trying to cover myself up. I'm not trying to actually make myself look good the way that I love to make myself look good when I was skinny.
Okay. Okay.
And I need to pay some attention to that because, I mean, I'm perfectly comfortable walking around in jeans and sweaters, but I feel like I it's like the joke I told you the other day when I told the kid he looked cool and he told me I look cool. And I said, no, I don't. And he said, yeah, you look comfortable.
Right.
It's like that. I look comfortable all the time.
Right. Which is, look, and there's nothing wrong with that. That's good. And like, you have cute clothes. I know,
but look at you today. You're adorable in your little crop top.
I know. Oh, look, listen. This was like an act of desperation. I am right now wearing a Samantha Pleat crop top with a rose applique on it and sweatpants. And like, there's something happening that I would, if you really saw me on the street, you would be like, huh, is that person unhinged or is that or is that a conscious choice? Because that's a lot of what's happening to me right now. Although I do have these, I still have like fantasies, and my fantasy includes summer turtlenecks, which I have purchased a couple of. There's a short sleeve turtleneck I like, a sleeveless turtleneck, high-waisted jeans, which I know you can't sit down in. One cannot sit down in. I can't sit down in. And loafers. That's what I'm thinking. I'm like a skinny loafer, not like a wide penny loafer, but like a thin loafer.
People, loafers are on everyone's mind right now.
I love them. I love them. And I have to figure out what I'm going to buy. And what I really should do is just probably invest. What I'm not going to do, but I should do, is I should just invest in a Gucci loafer, which I'll have forever. But instead, mm-hmm. I'm going to buy a bunch of bullshit loafers that I don't like as much, but I'm going to be like, oh, well, I can't justify the cost. And I'm going to like buy like some shitty, like Dolce Vita, God love you, Dolce Vita, but I'm going to buy some shitty thing because I just want it right now and I don't want to feel guilty about it.
I think you should, you know, I love the look of Gucci loafers. I love that horse bit, the hardware.
Yes.
You know, and I don't like designer anything. I don't like logos on things. I don't like any of that. But I was really tempted by the Gucci clogs because they have that,
yeah,
that like bit on them. I would encourage you.
You would encourage me to just buy the, just make the investment.
Yep. Yep. I would.
Maybe I will. Maybe I'll just make
that. And it's Princess Week soon, so you can.
It is Princess. Hey, hello, bank. It's Princess Week. did you not understand? Sorry. Oh, yeah. Anyway, no, I have some looks. I'm going to be taking a trip to New York. I have to, I have some work in New York. I'm going to be speaking at a conference. I can't believe that conferences are happening and I can't believe I'm going to be speaking at one. Like Alex was like, what are you going to talk about? And I was like, I don't know. Like it's been rebooked 3 times because of the pandemic. And like the person they booked feels very different to me than the person I am now.
Sure.
And like the stuff that I was talking about then feels very different to me than the stuff I'm thinking and talking about now. So I don't know how it's going to go, but I have to give a talk about, I don't know, basically the old bitch I used to be, like how to be weird and a misfit in the workplace. I don't know.
Right.
Sorry, people at this conference. But then I'm going to train down. That's in Massachusetts. I'm going to train down to New York and be there the first week of April, which I'm hoping we have a live event then, but I don't know if we can pull it off.
Yeah, no, a live event would be really awesome. And the other thing we should mention to the listeners is that our 100th episode is coming up.
Yes. Yes.
If there's anything special you guys would like for our 100th episode, we're sort of kicking around some ideas right now, but we would love to hear your input.
Yes, 100. I know. It's crazy. I mean, I haven't been here for all of them, but most of them.
Yeah, it's crazy.
It's crazy that we've been doing this for so long. Yeah, and you know, we had our live Patreon event last week, which we have every month. So if you join Patreon, we have a live event. And it really feels like we're building a community, and I really felt that. And I also felt just how much, you know, talking about all of these things, thinking about all of these things, being in community with other people where we're talking about them has helped me feel better about getting older.
And, you know, I saw a friend who's in her 30s, over the weekend, and she was like, I love listening to the podcast because nobody talks about the things you guys are talking about. And I had no idea that some of these things were headed my way. And, you know, I do feel like, you know, that breaking through this culture of like shame and silence about a lot of things that are common experiences.
Yeah.
Feels meaningful. And I felt the same way about the call. I love who's listening to us and who's showing up. It's like if you don't get to pick your audience.
Yeah.
You know, they pick you. And I feel really grateful.
Yeah, me too. Me too. And some of the things we talked about on that call, which we'd like to have from all listeners, is suggestions for upcoming shows. I really want to know what you all want to hear about. What topics, you know, we did that, I thought, really excellent episode because she's so excellent about friendship last week. And I'd love to know other topics like that, that listeners are interested in hearing about. You know, some of the things that have been thrown out are, you know, hormone replacement therapy, which I'm on. Hair, a whole episode about hair, which I don't
even, I don't even know. I mean, what am I saying? Who am I kidding? I could talk about hair on my own for an hour.
I could probably possibly as well. My kid just got a mullet, by the way. Mullets are back.
Charlotte got a mullet.
Charlotte got a mullet, yes.
I'm feeling like my hair is too dark. I want to get highlights, but then highlights are such a pain.
Ugh. I have, oh my God, now we're going to start. I have, the roots of my hair are like silver and black, but they're like, my roots are different. The texture of my roots is different than when I dye my hair. Because when you bleach your hair, it makes it lighter. It's less greasy. It's all of that. That's one of the reasons I've always bleached my hair, because it just kind of gives it more body. And anyway, I'm in this in between because I'm, the last time I was at the hairdresser, he was like, you cannot keep dyeing your hair. Like, this is damaging your hair. You cannot keep, you have to pay somebody to do it. And, but I also am like, should I not be dyeing my hair at all since it's so thin and fine and like still borderline falling out? Or should, I'm in the literal gray zone where I have to decide if I'm going to let my hair grow out gray, which I can already say right now, I'm not going to. I already, like, there's no, it's just like, what is this? Where am I going to, how am I going to dye this? And if I get highlights, yes, you're right. It is a huge pain in the ass. Highlights are super expensive and they're massive upkeep.
I know, but they look so good.
They do look so good, but they're like, it's like fucking good highlights are like $300 to $500.
I know. And that's, and in New York and LA, even more.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. You can get up to, which is just absurd, which is like, I almost wish that I had never gotten that stuff for free so that I never knew what a really good version of it was, you know, because it's hard to go back once you know.
I know.
I'm going to change topics. Flights are so expensive right now. You can't fly any, like everything. We've come out of this pandemic, but nothing is the same. And I don't know if it's going to, this was such a sea change for everything. And I don't know if it's ever going to go back to the way it was. Like, flights are prohibitively expensive right now, everywhere.
It can't go back. But you know what? I mean, very different circumstance, but like after 9/11, we said life would never go back.
Yeah. This just feels like, I mean, it feels like things that were not sustainable were broken. Like, for example, there's no reason that Uber and Lyft should have been so cheap. But an Uber and Lyft like made life in LA like much different because you could take a $20 Uber, a $30 Uber to or Lyft when Uber was terrible to Venice from Silver Lake. You know, like that's insane. Now it would be $100 at least.
Wow.
So it's like, it made the city much smaller, but like we shouldn't have had that service because the drivers weren't getting paid anything and they were super stressed out. Like we had all these systems in place that actually were not sustainable economically and were really like hurting a lot of people, but they made life a lot more convenient. You know, even the restaurant prices were so much cheaper than they are that they are now. So
yeah,
I don't know. I think we're in weird moods because it's a really weird time.
It just gets weirder.
It's weird.
It just gets weirder. You know, it's really true. But I guess, you know, it's that line that I really love that someone like Stalin said. There are
there are years, it's something like there are years when nothing happens and there are months when years happen.
Yeah. 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 No, I know. I know. I know. Well, listen, I'm sorry. We're so grumpy today. I want to just say that to listeners. Thank you. Sorry.
Yeah, me too.
We really just had to wring it out today. I don't know why. Just a real just brokenness in me anyway. But happy early birthday, Kim France.
And happy early birthday to you, Jen Romolini.
Thanks for listening to Everything is Fine. We are your hosts. I'm Jen Romolini.
And I'm the soon-to-be 58-year-old Kim France.
If you like the show, please rate and review it on the platforms. It really makes a difference. If you want to support the show and support the production of the show, you can join our Patreon at patreon.com/everythingisfine, where we hold monthly events, live events online. You can email us with suggestions at everythingisfinethepodcast@gmail.com. We're on Instagram at EIF Podcast. We're on Twitter. We're on Facebook. You can find Kim on her blog, girlsofacertainage.com. And you can find me whenever I get around to doing another newsletter at tinyletter.com/Jennifer Romolini.
Hi, this is Craig Robinson from Ways to Win, and support for this podcast comes from Invesco QQQ. Invesco QQQ is proud to sponsor this episode and even prouder to provide access to innovation for the last 25 years. Basketball has had innovations over the years, too. We're seeing the game played in new ways every day. Learn more at Invesco.com/QQQ. Let's rethink possibility. Invesco Distributors, Inc.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.